Today is the day of the spring festival, the year of the lunar calendar. So we honor God for all His creation, but we do not associate all the human customs associated with it. So you may wish each other a blessed lunar Happy New Year. Meaning of love. This chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, has been used so often. But let me tell you that chapter 12, 13, and 14 are actually one unit. For chapter 12 tells about the context of the Holy Spirit's work through the believer. And chapter 13 speaks of the motivation of the Holy Spirit and the gifts. And chapter 14 is the proper operation of these gifts. Paul in chapter 12 lays the foundation that we are all part of a system to do God's work, and we need to let the Holy Spirit work through us collectively. In fact, Paul ends chapter 12. If you look at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, and he says here, let me read to you, chapter 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way is in chapter 13. So let's deal with chapter 13. That, of course, is love. And chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, is well known as a love chapter. But in Matthew Henry's Bible commentary, Matthew Henry, which you all know, he uses the word charity and renders it love. And that is agape. Okay? And so Matthew Henry uses the word charity and he renders it as love. So I'm going to use the word love. Agape is love in its fullest and most extensive meaning. It is true love to God and man. It is not charity. It's not like what we could talk about, you know, giving to charity. But this one is of love. The living principle of obedience, of a most excellent way, as Paul has said. This 1 Corinthians 13 is often used in weddings routinely. So that sometimes it sounds like a card. You know, what the world needs is love. What is love? Let me tell you what is love in a little child's point of view. He says, when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend down over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis. That's love. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. Then you know that your name is safe in his mouth or her mouth. Love is when someone hurts you and you get so mad, but you don't yell at them because you know it would hurt their feelings. Another one, a little child. Love is when mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even when they know each other so well. Love is when mommy sees daddy smells and he's sweaty, but he's still more handsome than Robert Redford. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him all day alone. love is when you shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot, because people forget. So that's a little child's idea of love. But let's look at love in its agape, the need for love. Paul says, when I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, have not charity, have not love, I become as a round sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. No matter how much I know, yet if I have not love, I am nothing. Though I may do all healing miracles, without love, it is meaningless. See, agape is a word that appears in the New Testament. It is the selfless love, the love of God towards Jesus and towards us. It is different from the other words of love in the Greek. Philo is about idea of brotherly love or friendship. And the name Philadelphia gets its name from the word. Of course, eros is a love word, but a love of action without regard or self-interest. But agape is the character of God. If we look at 1 John 4:8, it defines well what is love. Let me read to you 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. For God is love. Anthony has very kindly in your insert agape love. And here it says love is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love, the highest of the four types of love. Agape perfectly describes the kind of love Jesus has for his Father and for his followers. And let me read John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Here are all the verses of agape. There's one from the Old Testament, which is about the commandment, and the rest. When you have time, please look at these references, for it tells you all about agape. I make no apology about giving you Bible verses, although you read the whole chapter. But these verses are gems. You know, when you have sometimes trouble in your life, or you are in some kind of anxiety, Bible verses come through your mind, and it gives you encouragement. And so I make no apology for giving you Bible verses, because as you read them, it comforts you. And this is why the Bible is a living word. So when you have time, look up agape love on these verses, and it really tells you what is love. Paul defines agape in such a manner. He describes 8 things that love does and 8 things it does not do. From chapter 4, it says, charity suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. And you have 8 things which is love, and 8 things which is not. And if you look at your insert, you see that I have classified it 8 things love is, from A to H, and 8 things love is not. Now, how shall we deal with these 8 things? Okay? It is interesting that if we look at these, we can have 4 concepts. 4 concepts, 4 attitudes. How we use this love. And if you look at your notes again, it says, how do you deal with others? How do you deal with others? In dealing with others, you suffer as long, you're kind, you bear all things, but you are not behaving unseemly, you are not easily provoked, and you think of no evil. The next one is, how do you deal with life? Again, how you are suffering long, you believe in all things, you hope of all things, you endure all things, and love never fails. And your relationship to yourself, you suffer long, you are kind, for love never fails, but love is never envious. The mountain is not itself, not puffed up, and seeketh not her own. And then the last one is, from these qualities, your relationship to God. Relationship to God, you rejoice in truth, for God is truth. You hope of all things, and you endure with all things. But with God, you are not puffed up. You do not seek your own, and you rejoice not in iniquity, for God hates sin. So this is very important, that if you look at these 8, which are love and love which are not, you can actually have these attitudes of love. How to deal with others, how do you deal with life, your relationship to yourself, and your relationship to God. For love suffers long, it endures patiently, it returns a kindly spirit, it is slow to anger. And when Christ was reviled, remember, he reviled not again. For the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. All right? And this is where it's very important. The word suffers long is so useful. Ministers of God are long suffering. The word long suffering is actually from the word long and tempered. That means you are self restrained. And it's opposite to anger. So I ask you, do you have a short fuse? Are you always feeling frustrated? Do you retaliate against others? 1 Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may exalt you in due time. That's what love is all, it suffers long. Love is kind, does not show itself unseemingly. For the word kind actually comes from the word employed. And it is again emphasized again and again. See? Then, let us look at the negative things. What are the 8 negatives about love? First, love envieth not. That means envy means to boil. You know, what's in it for me? In the sense of, what is it all for me? When we become so self-focused that anything else, anyone else has, we must have. Envy is only when we want to benefit ourselves at the expense of others. How miserable it is when you're made unhappy by the good fortune of others. That is what Cain is all about. A mother does not envy her child. Next, vaunteth not itself. It does not boast. It's not inflated. Often boasting is really playing a part. The Greek word is playing the braggart. That means you tend to boast all the time. It's not puffed up. That means knowledge doesn't puff up. It means because if you have knowledge, you think you are puffed up. You're like a bag of hot air. There's no substance, but lot of fluff. You try to increase your own sense of self-importance, well beyond the size of your head. Does not behave itself unseemingly. It's not discourteous. Its manners are good. The word unseemingly means it's not unshapely. It's not pretty to look at. And you do things which are rude. And seeketh not our own. It's unselfish and not self-seeking. As Romans say, 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. It's not easily provoked. What does that mean? You mean you do not fly into rage. You keep your temper under control. You don't exasperate. The Greek word is, it does not sharpen alongside. It doesn't exasperate. And thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. It means it does not keep a record so as to return, to have vengeance. Thinketh no evil. When I was last in China, I had these words in Chinese on the wall. And the one was seeketh no evil. In Chinese it says, it holds no record of wrongdoing. And one of the officials, who was a public security man, came. And he said, where do you get all these words from? Thinketh no evil, beareth no records. I said, it's in the Bible. And I always have the Bible on the small table in the room. And I show it to him, and he reads it. And he says, it's very interesting. And I said, you may keep it for 2 months. Because I'm not allowed to preach. I'm not allowed to distribute Bibles. So he takes the Bible, he puts it in coat, and he goes away. After 2 months, he comes back and he says, it's a very interesting book. I say, you may have it. He says, may I? He puts it in his coat and he goes away. You see, because he's a government official, if he is found to have the Bible, he will lose his job. And in the village there, if you want to buy a Bible in the church, you have to put your name down. So if you put your name down, the officials find out, you'll lose your job. So I buy the Bibles for them, and where they want it, I tell it to them. And so the head of the pathology, the head of the medicine in the hospital, I give it to them and they put it behind their coats and they go away. Here we have the Bible to ourselves. Do we use it as they do? Think of those people that can't even open the Bible for fear of losing their rice bowl. So, love does not keep any record. It rejoices not in iniquity, All right, does not rejoice with people who are of any wrong kind. It rejoices in the truth. It's not happy when there's an injustice or wrong. These are all negative things on love. All right? It is not what we have. So look at it. In fact, if you look at all the negative things, it's about me, 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 all the time. But charity suffereth long, and it is kind. And I've given you many Bible verses on charity here, on suffereth long. And charity is kind. Charity rejoices in the truth. This is interesting because the word rejoice is a compound word. It's used to delight. When you delight, you rejoice in the truth. For God is truth. Charity beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endureth all things. In fact, these few words are all together as one. You bear in spite of all things evil. Love bears up against the tide of evil. It believeth all things. It is not distrustful. It hopeth all things. And it endureth all things. It endureth persecution and suffering. And the quality of enduring is to have strength, fortitude, perseverance. You see, these four words, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, are the things God does for us. It provides like a cover for us. You mean to be able to protect ourselves, to put our faith in God. You see, all this business of love isn't some kind of feeling. It's actually very specific. It's love and trust in God, no matter what happens. For the help that in your life is when you draw closer to God. So when you look at these verses, think of the eight things love is not and the eight things love is, and see how it applies in your everyday life. And the supremacy of love is that love never fails. It doesn't fail. It is internal. Whether there are prophecies, they shall cease. And whether there be tongues, people who speak in tongues, they are transitory. They are nothing. And where there is knowledge, even the superior knowledge is temporary. There are new things about the black earth, the big hole. This knowledge is all temporary, for we know that God created everything. And there is nothing which God has not created. Why were these things given? What were these things mentioned? They were given when the church of false time was rather immature. And so there were prophecies then. But they will cease. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, it shall be done away. You see, a reason why these gifts should pass away is because our knowledge is only partial. And the prophecy only gives us glimpses. They are imperfect, they are fragmentary. But when that which is perfect is come, then the partial knowledge and the prophecy will be done away. The imperfect will give way to the perfect. The perishable to the enduring, and the perfect is expressed at the coming of Jesus Christ. But the final and complete perfect is when the glorified church is yet to come. Then Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For in these verses, Paul declares what will take place from childhood to manhood. The speech, the thoughts, the feelings of the child will give way to the mature person. So it is when the church moves from childhood to full development. For now we see through a glass darkly, a poor reflection. Now we know in part. For now we see in a glass, that means you see in a mirror. The mirrors of the early times, or the ancient times, were of polished metal. And they were so inferior to ours. Their images in that time were indistinct. They were darkly. Thus, in this state of knowledge of divine things, were imperfect and incomplete. But then when we see face to face, there is no veil. Now I know in part, but when I know in knowledge that which is come, then the full revelation comes in the presence of Jesus Christ. We shall know fully as he is known to God. Sometimes we seek to know the mysteries of God and we think our knowledge is better. We seek to do mighty things so that we can be favored. But God is love. God's love brings us into maturity. As Paul says, when we have the gifts of prophecy and faith that can move mountains, but if we have no charity, it's nothing. So Paul shows us a more excellent way to learn of love, to be humble. For love is the greatest thing of all. For love is God. There are churches which are charismatic and they think they have knowledge. They try and speak in tongues. But if they have no love, it is nothing. It's a strong reminder that men may be gifted with prophecy. They may speak in tongues. But their spiritual gifts are not perfect. Their spiritual graces are lacking. And so now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three things. And the greatest of these is love. These three shall survive, for they are eternal. They exist in the church and should not fail in its glorified days. For as long as the redeemed saints shall have before them and have a trust in God, then love will be divine. For love is the greatest thing, because it glorifies both faith and hope. It sanctifies the Christian grace. One thing, God is love. For these three actually are very great favorites of Paul. And he mentions faith in Jesus Christ as God and Savior, hope of the things he has done in our lives. And love is the greatest. It is the driving force for all of us. Love doesn't happen overnight. You might say, oh, how can I live up to this? It takes time. It takes perseverance. That's what Paul says. When I became a man, I put away childish things. To grow up in love is a process. It takes time. It takes experience. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. For love is a process. It is an action. Love is not fireworks. It's not a fireworks display. When you show love, it is an action. It's an attitude. Sometimes it is a very quiet way of showing love. It's not full of fireworks. We don't broadcast our depth of love. Paul says, I will show you a more excellent way. And the greatest thing in all life is to love God. And the greatest thing in all our lives is to serve God. So what kind of love is there in our church today, in our fellowship today? Everyone knows that the church is a place where love ought to be manifested. It ought to be here. But many people have come to church hoping to find a demonstration of love. What do they discover sometimes? A lack of love. What kind of church, what kind of congregation have we here? Is it a place where people find a demonstration of love? Or is it just an encyclopedia on theology? Or is it people who care about themselves? Can people see and experience a demonstration of God's love in our fellowship? There are many who need this love in their lives. If we come to church in order for people to love us, then we've got some problems with our church. There are times, sometimes we don't feel like loving others. But if these times are more often than not, then we've got some problems. People do need to hear the facts of the Bible. They need to feel the love of Jesus Christ demonstrated in His followers. That's why Paul says, I will show you a most excellent way. You see, people feel the love of Christ when it is demonstrated through other Christians and believers in Jesus Christ. The Corinthians actually did not understand love. That's why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. For he said, I will show you a more excellent way, and that is love, agape. Let us demonstrate the love of Christ in New Life Bible Presbyterian Church.